All right, Shabbos, good morning. Agizint and Zimmer, it's a great zuchos Baruch Hashem to be able to continue in this limud together. Great zuchos to continue in the parak of Ezehu Neshech, which is not easy, but incredibly exciting. And we have some really, really fascinating and riveting Gemara is ahead of us today. May Hashem in the coming days as well. I'll begin by thanking all of our sponsors. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Nisan, Sa'id and Simehaken, for dedicating all the Sherman Drashos this month to show their Akaras Hatov to Hashem for all of his Nisim and Niflos. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu continue to bestow his Rachmanos upon us, redeem all of the hostages, bring Hatzlacha to our soldiers, and complete Hatzlacha to Am Yisrael and to Eretz Yisrael, the Ili Nishmas, Yerachmiel Buck's father, Martin Buck, Batl Ben Chaim Leba Cohen. Our week of learning sponsors, Paul and Kathy Pollack, memory of Paul's mother, Florette Pollack, Sarah Bas Avram, Zichron Livracha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an aliyah and the family in Nechama Rabbah. So with that, let us begin. Today's daf is Samech Gimel, 63. And we are picking up Emir Tzashem on the last line of Samech Beis Amud Beis 62b. The Gemara says, Ela Amar Rabbah. So let's remember again, we are in the midst of trying to go ahead and interpret the Mishnah. So Rava comes along now and is offering a different interpretation of the Mishnah. And I will say, just to point out, along as we interpret this Mishnah, we're also picking up different concepts regarding ribbis. The way you're going to see this parak will work a little bit is it'll appear to be a little bit backwards, like the Mishnah, the parak, the Gemara, jumped into ribbis. And actually, interestingly enough, like in some of those complicated parts of ribbis, like for example, this sugi that we're doing over here now, what we call psika ala peros, which essentially means like a future contract, is among the more complicated topics of ribbis. It's interesting that we're starting over here. You're going to see, for example, in tomorrow's Mishnah, we're going to speak about just some more basic concepts. So we kind of jumped in. The good news is we were thrown into the deep end of ribbis. Great part about being thrown into the deep end is, right? You sink or swim, and we're still here. So Baruch Hashem. So we're treading. We're going to tread a little bit more in Meretz Hashem, and then again, every day, build up our ribbis skills a little bit until you're going to be answering shilas like no one's business. Your phone's going to be ringing off the hook. You're going to say, I heard you're doing this in Dafiomi. Can you answer a couple of complicated business-related questions? You say, no problem. All right, so let's say with that, let us go. Elam Rava. Kishachivna Raboshia, supposed to listen to this. Kishachivna, so Rav said like this, when I die, Rabbi Oshia Nafik Levasi. So Raboshia is going to escort me into Gan Eden. Look at Rashi, last Rashi in the Daf. Kishachivna Raboshia Nafik Levasi. Kishamos, Rav is saying, when I die, Raboshia Yetze Likrasi. Raboshia already passed away. Raboshia is going to come out of Gan Eden to escort me into the world to come. I will say that is a thank you so much, Rashi. Thank you. That is a dramatic statement. So again, Rava saying, when I Rava die, Raboshia, who already died, predeceased me, is going to come out of Gan Eden to come and to escort me into the world to come. Now, why is that type of Samech Gimel 63? Why the Mitaratzta Masnisin Kavase? Because I'm interpreting the Mishnah. I've interpreted the Mishnah in accordance with his logic. So we'll say, we actually saw this Gemara in Bava Kama as well. So we'll say, so what does this mean? First of all, look at Rashi. Demitaratzna masnisin kavase, sha'ani ragil litaritz mishnayos, shesasam kibraisa, shesasam rebi, kibraisa shesasam hu, vitikavase. So we'll say, so again, Rashi over here quotes this Gemara from Bava Kama as well. Rava often interpreted, mishnayos in accordance with Roshia. So therefore, Rava said, almost as like a sign of gratitude, when I die, Raboshia is going to leave Gan Eden, he's going to leave the world to come, and he's going to come and escort me into Olam Haba, into the world to come as well. So I just want to point out something very beautiful over here. This is reminiscent. So obviously, Rava's saying this, I don't think it's tongue-in-cheek. Really, you know, there's a concept that will say that when you say something over in the name of a Talmud Chacham, right? When you say over the Torah of a Talmud Chacham who has passed away, the Gemara says, Sifsosav Dovavos Bekever. His lips move in the grave. And the idea over here is that part of the power that a Talmud Chacham has, part of the eternality that he has, is that even when his physical life comes to an end, his Torah continues to grow. So we know this, right? On Thursday nights, we learn Torah of the Piyaj Etzna. It's amazing how you could feel a closeness to someone, right, who died, again, never met, Piaget is contemporary, but how is it that you can feel a connection to someone who you never met? And the answer is through their Torah. Through the Torah. So obviously over here, so Rava is saying that Rav Oshi is going to have like a hakara sato, is going to have a sense of gratitude to me because I'm interpreting Mishnayos in accordance with him. How is Rav Oshi going to express that gratitude? He's going to come in to greet me. When I die, he's going to come and greet me and escort me into the world to come. There's one more piece of this Rav Oshi that, again, so just a reminder, we spoke about over Yantiv doing Mesecha Sota. Over the, I know that I have to post a couple of days of Dabin and Eretz Hashem, but it's a great project for Sira, great project. One blot a day, 49 blot, be Messiah, the Mesechta in Eretz Hashem. I don't remember which daf it is, but the Gemara says that when a person does a mitzvah, so that mitzvah is Mikad Masa Baholachas Lefanov. When you do a mitzvah, we'll say, all mitzvahs that you do, they almost like, they precede you, not precede you, they go before you to the world to come. I'm sorry? Pave the way. They pave the way. This idea that, and Israel says, such an incredible idea. So whenever you do a mitzvah, it's kind of like we do a mitzvah, then it's over. Just understand that mitzvah is paving the way for me to get to the world to come. And in fact, again, the Gemara says that when you go to Olam Haba after 120, your mitzvos come out to greet you. What you do in this world paves the way and almost again sets up the reception for you in the afterlife. Such a beautiful and overwhelming thought. And it's almost like what Rav is saying over here, that when I die, Rav Oshia, right? I interpreted a lot of Mishnayos like Rav Oshia. Rav Oshia is going to pave the way for me and Rav Oshia is going to come and greet me. Rav Oshia, what do we do in this world? Not only establishes the portion that we are going to have in the next world, not only paves the way for the Olam Haba we're going to have, but after 120, the good we do in this world comes out and greets us as we make our journey to the afterlife. Incredible. All right, the Gemara says as follows. So the Tana Boshia, what did Rav Oshia say? thank you, delicious. So the Gemara says as follows. The Torah Boshia, Hari Shahaya Noshe Bechavir Amana. So this is actually a really interesting case. So this is a take on our Mishnah's case. So we'll say, watch this. So I lent Ruvain $1,000. Vahalach va'amad al gorano. Va'amar tain li ma'osi shani rosi likach ban chitin. So what happens? I lent Ruvain owes me $1,000. So I go to Ruvain's granary. I say, Ruvain, listen, do me a favor, pay me back and I tell him, so I just want to point out something. Generally, when you lend someone money and you want to get paid back, you don't have to tell them why you want to get paid back, right? In other words, I lend you money, pay me back my money. It just happens to be in these cases, I'm divulging information. So I go over to Ruvain. So I lent Ruvain $1,000. Good. Debt is due. I come to Ruvain's granary. I say, Ruvain, you know what? Pay me back my money. Just, by the way, I'm really in the market for grain. So Ruvain says, okay, good news. You came to the right place. Right? I happen to have grain. So why don't I pay you back with grain instead of money? And what happens? Say, va'ason alai kishar shal achshav. So we'll say, and Ruvain says, let's just, now again, I know that I owe you $1,000. How much wheat does $1,000 get you? Let's just see what the current price is. We'll remember again, this is the phrase, we've seen this many times, Yatsa Hashar. Yatsa Hashar means the price is known. So Ruvain says, no problem. No problem with converting, in other words, what Rav Oshia is saying, no problem with converting a debt onto a commodity. So let's take the $1,000 and let's convert that to wheat based on the current value of wheat. Great. So as I say, now what we've done is we've taken a debt, and we've transformed, it's still a debt, but we've transformed it from ma'os, from money, onto chitin, onto wheat, onto commodity. So from ma'os to commodity. Okay, so as I say, now what happens? So we do it. And now let's say again, just for argument's sake, that gets me 3 bushels of wheat, just for argument's sake. Okay, now we'll say, but just to point out, I didn't take possession of the wheat, right? So now Ruvain owes me $1,000 worth of wheat. Okay, based on current prices. Fine. He gives man chitin limkar. So we'll say now it's time to sell the wheat. Now we'll say, Rashi points out, there'll be worth spending time selling. Now, at this point, apparently, I don't need the wheat. In other words, when I bought, so to speak, when I have this entitlement of wheat from Ruvain, I didn't need it. It's more like investment wheat. But now we'll say the price of wheat has really gone up. And so I go back to Reuven and say, okay, Reuven, give me my wheat. Give me my wheat. Right? I go back to Reuven. Giyazman chitin limkar. Amar lo, ten li chitin shani rotsa lamachran. Velikach bahen yayin. So once again, what do? I go over to Reuven and say, Reuven, do me a favor. That wheat, you know, that I have by you, I give it to me. Because I want to sell it. Bakshim, the price of wheat has really gone up. I want to sell the wheat. And I'd like to buy wine. I'd like to, what, one thing I will say, I'm just divulging a little. There are people like this, right, who need to tell you every single thing. So I'm one of those guys, right? So I'm telling you, I want to go ahead and buy wine. So what happens? Amar lo, Reuven says, great, great. Yesh li yayin shayno sin lecha. Tse va'ason alai kisha'er shel achshav. So Reuven says, no problem. Why don't we just do this? Why don't we just convert the debt from wheat to wine? So let's go. So I owed you $1,000 of wheat. So let's go and figure out what $1,000 of wine is worth. And again, current prices. This is current prices. Let's establish it right now. Yigiyazman yayin limkar. So let's now fast forward a little bit. So fine. So now Bosei. So just again, mamish. This Bosei. What? This is a chagadja. This is mamish a chagadja, right? Isru chag, we get a chagadja, right? So I lent Reuven $1,000. I come to collect my money. I want to buy wheat. He says, no problem. I'll give you $1,000 worth of wheat based on current prices. Fantastic. Fantastic. So now he owes me $1,000 worth of wheat. I go to collect the wheat. Say, I want to give me my wheat. I want to sell the wheat because I want to buy wine. Reuven says, no problem. I've got wine. So now we convert the debt onto wine. Next, higia zman yayin limkar. So now, again, I want to, wine is very expensive, Baruch Hashem, so I want to cash out. So I say, you know what? I give me my wine. Right? Give me my wine because I want to go ahead and sell the wine, and I want to use the proceeds to buy oil. You know, say, remember, for me, this is an investment. Right? So I'm just looking to go ahead and simply buy whatever commodity is best. But I need to liquefy my commodity. Liquefy. Yeah, okay, liquidate. I see everybody's tired. No one corrected me. I need to liquidate. I think it's liquidate. All right, velikach ba shemen. Amar lo, so I was like, you could script this. What does Reuven say? It's amazing. Reuven has everything but money, right? Yes. It's incredible, right? He's got everything. But guys, mine is like a general store. He just does not have money. So what happens? So Amar lo, shemen yesh li, shayno sin lecha. No problem. I got oil, right? So what happens? Lech tse va'aseu alai kishar shal achshav. So the Gemara says, da'locha is kulam im yesh lo mutar, im lo asar. So they both say, the halacha is, all of this works, as long as what? As long as Reuven has the commodity itself. So this is the position of Moshe. Moshe says you could make future contracts, forward contracts, future contracts. You could do that. As long as the person, in this case, it's the, I would say the relationships are interesting because as long as it's the seller slash debtor, right? Because remember the way this is working is Reuven starts out as my borrower, as my debtor. He then becomes a seller at different points in the interval. So this works as long as Reuven has the commodity in stock. Now remember again, in these type of transactions, what are we concerned about? We're concerned that the object becomes worth more later on than it is now. Now remember, this is not going to be biblical ribbis, right? Because psika laperos, these forward contracts, remember again, at most are rabbinic interest, and more because they look like interest. They look like interest. I'm essentially purchasing a commodity right now at a particular value, and when I take possession of it, ultimately, it's worth more. So I will say, so anytime you are locking in something now, and if you wait, it's worth more later on. We'll discuss in just a little bit. That looks like ribbis. So what Rav Moshe has established, I was assuming yesterday, what Rav Moshe has established is, as long as Reuven has the commodity with him, when we make this agreement, that's fine. We'll say, what's the logic of that? What's the logic? The logic is, because if Reuven has the commodity and I'm essentially buying it, it's as if what's occurred, it's as if he's given it to me. So even though it's in his possession, it's as if I have received it already. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, there's no ribbis. So we'll say this is the position of Rabbi Hoshea. Now again, we know there's another way to do this with Yatzah Hashar, but we're going to focus on Rabbi Hoshea now. So Rabbi therefore says, this is our Mishnah. You want to do a future, a forward contract, which essentially means now. And we'll say the way this always works is, it starts with a loan. It starts with a loan. And then the borrower, although it doesn't have to, as we'll see, and then the borrower says, instead of me paying you back money, I know you want the wheat. So I'll give you $1,000 worth of wheat. It's fine. And again, Rabbi Hoshea's chap is, you can keep on converting this to commodity, to commodity, to commodity, to commodity. Makes no difference. As long as what? As long as Reuven has the commodity. Because this way, even if it appreciates, isn't that Rebbe's? No. Because since he has it at the time, he made the transaction, it's as if I already received it, and therefore, again, no even appearance of Rebbe's. Beautiful. Beautiful. So we'll say, the Gemara says as follows. Ein lo asar. However, again, I will say in all these cases, if Reuven does not have the commodity, then of course it is going to be asar. Okay, so the Gemara says, umay lakach. So what does it mean when the Mishnah, when it says, again, lakach, purchased? Lakach bahal va'aso. It means, I will say, purchased with his loan. Because remember, again, I will say, the way this works, how does this start? How does it start? Starts with a loan. So essentially what I end up doing is I end up purchasing the wheat, which is the first commodity, with my loan money. Amar Rava, so Rava says, Shma mina mit Rabbi Hoshea tlas. You can learn three things from Rabbi Hoshea. Number one, Shma mina, dima amidin melva agabe peros. So v'lo amrinan, So we'll say the first thing we see is that halacha l'maisa, essentially you could convert ultimately again a commodity, or I should say, excuse me, you could convert a loan ultimately again into a commodity transaction. And we don't say that this is like a case of where the Isser has not come to his hand. We'll say that was yesterday's daf, and that would be a kashan rava. Ushmamina, so that's number one. So the number one thing you can learn is, and also we're going to try to simplify some of these ideas over here just so we can begin to distill down the principles of Ribbis, right? Because again, like I said, we're thrown into a little bit of a deep end over here. We're starting with a more nuanced Ribbis concept of, remember, we'll say the term to remember over here, psika al haperos. Psika al haperos, or in English, a future transaction. We're converting a loan into a commodity transaction. Sounds pretty scary from a Rebbe's perspective, because if that commodity appreciates and I have not taken possession of it, isn't that Rebbe's? Rabbi Hoshea says, not a problem as long as... Well, okay, so let's go. So number, let's go in order. So number one, we've established that you can convert a loan onto a commodity transaction. Number one. Number two, Shema Mina Dieshlo. Number two, I will say, that only works if what? How can you transform a loan onto a commodity transaction as long as what? The borrower / who becomes the seller has it. I lend Reuven $1,000. I come for payment and I say to Reuven. I will say, by the way, also I want to point out, obviously, Reuven can't force me to convert it to a commodity. Remember, the whole reason why this comes up over is because I'm saying, obviously, I want wheat. If I don't want wheat, then I want money. Then I have every right to money. But again, so then number two. So number one is you could convert a loan into a commodity transaction. Number two, you can go ahead and this only works if what? If the borrower, Reuven, has the commodity in stock. So in other words, I lend Reuven $1,000. I come back to get paid back for my debt. And what happens? And Reuven says, and I say, because I want to buy wheat. Reuven says, no problem. I have wheat. That's fine. We could now transform this into a commodity transaction as long as Reuven has it. Next, Ushmamina, Isa l'Rabbi Yanai. And I'm going to say, ultimately, again, we clearly accept the position of Rabbi Yanai. What did Rabbi Yanai say? Rabbi Yanai, Mali Hain, Mali Demehen. That ultimately, again, Rabbi Yanai said, that Aloha L'Maisa, what does it matter ultimately, again, if it's the money or if it's the value of money, which essentially says that Aloha L'Maisa, we can do this type of, we could commoditize a loan. Incredible. So I'll say, so let's go. So the Gemara explains this last part. What's this, Rabbi Yanai? So Rabbi Yanai says, the Itmar, Rav Amar, okay, we'll say, good, clear so far, we're going to go slow. I realize, over here, as my sons were giving daf, I can't think as quickly as they speak. Right, so Baruch Hashem, Kenai Nahari, youth is good. Youth, like, If you could, okay. So we're gonna take this slow. So this is shorter death anyway. We have time. That is, we're gonna take this slow. So that way, again, we have all these rashi. So let's say. So what we're coming out of here is just to follow the flow over here. Rav Asari is interpreting the Mishnah like Rav Oshia, and Halacha L'maaseh was coming out from Roshia is these three concepts, which really for our purposes are really two primary ideas. Number one, you could commoditize a loan. That is called psika al aperos, a forward or a future contract. Okay, that was saying. But according to Rav Oshia, this only works if you satisfy one major criteria, which is two words. Yesh lo. He has Ruvain, who in our case is the borrower. Ruvain has the commodity. Beautiful. Okay, let's go back there. Deitmar, shall we say? So now this Rav Yanai piece. Let's talk about this. Deitmar. Rav Amar Osin Amana Beperos, Vein Osin Amana Bedamin. Okay, so we'll say, now this is actually very interesting. So Rav says like this. You could just say Amana is the same thing as Psika La Peros. Right? Amana literally means trust. But again, what this means is a future contract. So you could engage in a future contract with produce, but not with money. Now, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. This is fascinating. Rashi says, Osin amana beperos, third of the intermediate lines. Osin amana beperos, nosin maos ba'amana kishan shal achshav shiyotse b'shuk, amanas lakabal peros afilu yokun chitin. So we'll say, watch this. So it's the same idea. We'll say, this is a straight out forward or future contract. Avi Fogel, we were talking about this before, before last night. Avi asked me about futures. So we'll say, so now what? This is it. So watch this. I want to buy wheat now. We'll say, so Rashi says over here, Nostin most ba'mona kishar shal achshav, shiotze b'shuk, amanas l'kabel peros, afiru yokrin chitin. So I want to buy wheat now at the current price. But I will say, but I'm not going to take possession of it until whatever, 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, a year from now. But what am I doing? I'm locking in current prices, knowing full well that that ultimately, again, it may appreciate. Okay, so that's what I'll say. It's called an amana. Now, Rav says, you could do this with produce. You can't do this with money. What does it mean, money? We'll say, Rashi says, Enos and Amana, Livsok ala peros kadeh lakabal domim lechashio kiru, Dechevon dezuzi yoev, zuzi shakal mechse krevisa. Now we'll say, now this is actually very interesting. What happens if I make the following agreement with Ruvain? I'm giving you now $1,000 for wheat, okay? Now I'm going to take possession of the wheat in a year from now. If the wheat appreciates, so I want one of two options. Either to get $1,000 of wheat today buys 10 bushels. So I'm taking possession a year from now from this. And a year from now, if wheat goes up, I reserve the right for the following. Either A, to take 10, what did I say? How many bushels? 10, sorry. To take 10 bushels of wheat or to cash out at the future value of the wheat. Right, so let's say if wheat appreciates, I reserve the right to take those same 10 bushels, or let's say again, in a year from now, if it appreciates, let's say then 10 bushels is worth $1,200. You agree to cash me out at $1,200. So Rav says you can't do that. Now, why can't you do that, Bosai? Because that looks like ribbis. Right, why does that look like ribbis? Because I'm giving Ruvain $1,000 now, and what is he giving me back? $1,200. So therefore, you know, Bosai, so essentially Rav says you could do a future contract on commodities, but you can't do a future contract that allows you to cash out at the higher rates. We'll talk more about this. Rabbi Yana says, no, Mali hin Mali dimer. Rabbi Yana says, same thing. It's the same thing. We'll say, otherwise, essentially, if I take possession of 10 bushels of wheat in a year from now, 10 bushels of wheat is what? It's $1,200. So what does it matter if you're getting $1,200 ultimately, again, in wheat, or you're getting $1,200 in cash? It's the same thing. Okay, so the Gemara is like this. So we'll say, fine. So the Gemara says, Meisvei, so that's Rabbi Yana. Good. So the Gemara says, Meisvei, good. All right, more to say that, but we're going to come back to that case. Meisvei, Kulam im Yeshlo Mutter. So we'll say, so remember again, what did we say? Now, the whole chap of Rabbi Osei, that Rav is setting this up as Rabbi Oshia. Rabbi Oshia holds that Psika Laperos, future contracts only work if what? If the borrower / seller has the commodity with him. Okay? Now, we'll say that this is a kashan Rav, because Rav said that Aloch Lamaisi doesn't have to have it with him. Amrav Huna, Amrav, Bishem Mashach. No, what's the case? the cases where I did Mashicha with Reuven. Gemara says, I understand. Ibishamashach tzricha l'neimar. So it's if I did Mashicha, then what is there to talk about? Ela kagon shiyich ilo keren zavis. What's because what I didn't do Mashicha. Rather, what happened? Reuven gave me a specific corner for me to be able to have that wheat. So because he went ahead and he gave me a specific corner, there's a heightened level of quasi-ownership that's occurring over here. Look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, Sheikhilo Karenzas Vashmu Inan Tiyichod Milsahi. By giving me a corner in which that wheat could technically be stored, therefore Allah Khalamaisa, there's a quasi-ownership that's taking place. Alright, Ushmul Rashmul says, Hamani Rabbi Hudihi. The Amrabo said, this is fascinating. No. Whose opinion does this reflect over here? This is Rabbi Huda. What does Rabbi Huda hold? Rabbi Huda holds Sad Echad Beribis Mutter. Okay, so we'll say, let's talk about this just a moment. Like I said, we're really getting thrown into the deep end of Ribis over here, we'll say, without like a lot of introductory information, but that's okay. It'll come together. So we'll say, Sad Echad Beribis essentially means like this. If you have a transaction that may or may not result in ribis, Rabbi Huda holds, it's permitted. That's called tzad echad beribis. There's one tzad, there's one possibility that there will be ribis, and another possibility that that there won't be ribis. Rabbi Huda holds such a transaction is mutter. Okay, so now that's the explanation. Now let's see it inside. See, here we go. Mosai, the Gemara says, Disanya. Listen to this case, Disanya. Here, if you take, yeah, okay, fine. Let's read the case on the Rashi. This Anya, Harisha Hayanosha Bechaber Amara. We'll say, watch this. I lent Reuven $1,000. Va'asalo Sadeu Mecher. So we'll say, so what did Reuven do? Reuven gave me his field as collateral. So we'll say, now, look at Rashi just a moment. Rashi says, well, actually, before I get to Rashi, sorry. Bisman Shamocher Ochal Peros Mutter. So when, now we'll say, Reuven is the seller, so to speak. So when Reuven is, now we'll say, so okay, just I lent Reuven $1,000, he gave me the field. So we'll say, so now obviously, there's a number of different scenarios that could occur over here, right? Scenario number one is that Reuven pays me the debt, and what? I give him the field, right? Scenario number two, Reuven defaults on the debt, and I acquire the field. And we'll say, by the way, if I acquire the field, in reality, I acquire the field retroactively. Right? So now we'll say, now watch this. Now, why does this matter? So now I'm holding field. Let's say the duration of the debt is for a year. So I have this field, and the field has produce. So we'll say, so who gets to consume the produce? So what's the problem? The problem over here is, let's play this out. If Reuven defaults, and I end up keeping the field, and I've been consuming the produce, then what's the halacha? All good. If Reuven pays the debt, and I give him back the field, and I've been consuming the produce, what's the problem? Ribis. Why? Because now I'm getting back payment plus the produce. But I will say, but what's interesting about this transaction? It's possible it'll be ribis, but it's also possible it won't be ribis. That's called tzad echad beribis. What best, I don't know, like a good, like concise definition, but it means essentially a possible ribis scenario. Like a possible ribis scenario. Suppose now take a look at Rashi just a moment. Rashi says, Yehuda Omer Tzarechab Ribis Mutter. So I'm sorry, let's just finish up. So the Gemara says, so Bisman Sham Ochra Ochal Peros Mutter. So we'll say, if Reuven is the one who's consuming the produce of the field during the duration of the loan, that's fine. Lokeach Ochal Peros Aser. So the Tanakhama says that I, the lender, cannot consume the peros. Right? Why not? Why can't I consume the peros? Because halacha lemaisa is a possible ribis. Rabbi Huda Omer af bisman shalokeach ochal peros mutter. So once Rabbi Huda says no. Rabbi Huda says, well, yeah, pick up the pace here. I'm going 6 already. Okay. Rabbi Huda says like this. Rabbi Huda says that halacha lemaisa, it's mutter. I can consume the peros. Why Rabbi Osai? Sad echad ribis. Okay. So Marsha Omer Rabbi Huda, maise bebaitos ben zonin sha'asa sadeo mecher api Rabbi Lozo ben Azaria v'lokeach ochal peros haya. So Rabbi Huda says, guys, I want to tell you, there was a maise shahaya, an episode, baitos ben zonin. And what did baitos ben zonin do? He did this exact idea. He did this exact idea. He went ahead and had a loan transaction, and his field was given to the creditor, and the creditor consumed the peros during the duration of the loan, and ultimately, again, it was fine. So they said to Rabbi Yehuda, Misham Raya, that's your proof. Mochra ochol perosu. Well, okay, actually, sorry, Rabbi Yehuda, you got your facts wrong. You got your facts wrong, right? Your facts, number one, is that ultimately it was the borrower who was considered the Rasul. Because remember, again, so this is fundamental machlokes. Just want to say, this case happens to be an interesting one. We're going to talk about this, about when you have collateralized property, so who gets to eat the produce? Because again, you are running into a potential ribis issue should the borrower pay back. And then it turns out that the creditor is getting principal plus produce, plus interest. So both sides. So again, keep that over here. So my benayu, what's the macholkis over here? I'm rabbi, it's a echabribis, ika benayu. Good. So both sides, so macholkis over here, it's a echabribis. Therefore, both sides, just keep a running tally of these different macholkis. Right? So far, remember again, we've got Rabosha kind of is like, Rabosha is telling us that in psika la peros, future contracts, it works as long as what? Yeshlo. As long as the borrower has the actual produce. They will say, so now something interesting, what do you do with this case over here? What do you do in a possible ribis scenario? Machlokis Rabbi Huda and Rabbanon. Rabbi Huda says, it's not ribis. Rabbanon say it is ribis. Next, Rava Amar Rava says, oh, this is so fascinating. Ribis amanas lahach sir ikabinayu. They will say, what about an interest transaction where ultimately, again, where ultimately the halacha, where the parties agree that if there is ribis, they will return the ribis. If there is ribis, they'll return the ribis. So the Gemara says, the Rashi points out to Rabbi Yehuda holds that even in a case of ribis amanas lahachzir, it's the transaction is still prohibited. I'm sorry, just stop. Rabbi Yehuda says that if it's ribis amanas lahachzir, if your condition is good, if there is interest, you will return it. Rabbi Yehuda holds ultimately again that it's mutter. The Rabbanon will say that it's asr. Amar Rava. Rava says, hashta da amar Rabbi Yanai. We'll say, now that Rabbi Yanai said, amar beis, mali hein mali demehen amrinan. So we'll say, now that Rabbi Yanai said that halacha l'maisa, when it comes to psika laperos, right, which is a future commodity transaction, what does it matter ultimately, again, if it's the commodity or it's money? So the Gemara says, mali demeyan umali hein nami amiran. So we'll say, so ultimately, again, we would also say that halacha l'maisa, we would say, so in other words, now that Rabbi Yanai, so we'll say, if you take a look, and actually it says outside. So Rashi points out over here, Psika la peros, yochol, losis peros adamin. Right? So we'll say, so ultimately, again, so remember, this was Rabbi Yanai, let's say, this is what we saw before. Rabbi Yanai said, in a case of a future or forward contract, that Allah says, if there's appreciation, you could cash out at either the commodity or the appreciated price. So now that Rabbi Yanai said, Mali demehen umali hein nami aminon. Furthermore, uposkin al hashar shebshuk viafapi she'elo. All right, there was a, here it is. We alluded to this in yesterday's daf, but here it is in the most dramatic way. So we'll say, we've been getting competing stories about this psika ala peros. When you have a future or a forward contract, so Rabosai sahaloch alamaisa, Raboshia was saying, in order for that to be permitted, so the borrower has to have the commodity, right? If I want to go over to Reuven and say, Reuven, I lend you $1,000, Reuven, but I want to buy wheat. Reuven says, no problem, I have wheat. Let's convert the loan that I owe you into wheat that I owe you. So Moshe said, no problem. You can do it as long as what? As long as halacha l'maaseh yeshlo. As long as Reuven has the commodity. Rav Yanai says, you don't need yeshlo. In order to do a forward contract, what do you need? Yatsa hashar, that the price is known. As long as the price is known, so we know exactly what the commodity is worth, even if Reuven doesn't have it, we can still go ahead and do this type of future forward contract. Uposkin al hashar shebashuk v'yafa pi she'en lo. So we're going to see why this is in just a moment. Eis ve'rav papav rav huna b'rid rav Yoshua l'rava. But I don't understand, we've been just saying this entire time, that a future contract only works if what? If the borrower of Reuven has the commodity. And here Rabbi Yanai is saying is, no, even if he doesn't have it, as long as the market price is established, we could do this. So the Gemara says, what's going on over here? Amar lahu, hasam halva Hacha Zvini. In Rav Oshia's case, it's actually interesting. In Rav Oshia's case, Rav Oshia was talking about a loan converted into a commodity. So that's different. When you have a loan converted into a commodity, Rav Oshia is going to suggest that halacha lemaisa, in order for that to work, the Ruvain, the borrower, has to have the commodity with him. However, when Rav Yanai says that you could do a future or forward contract, even if Ruvain doesn't have the commodity, as long as the market price is known, that's talking about a sale. A sale. Okay, so therefore again, right. Achazvini. Good. So the Gemara says, so Rav of Rav Yosef, Tamri Tarvayu, my time, Om Rabban and Poskin al Ashar, Shibashok. So I say, so why? So now let's analyze this. So I say, so now I just want to point out over here something very interesting. So now we have two different ways in which this forward future contract could work. Either number one, Yeshlo, Ruvain has the commodity, or Yotza Hashar, the current market price is known. Now, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that maybe these two things apply to two different types of transactions. When we're talking about a loan being converted into a commodity, that's when you need Yeshlo. When you're just talking about just a straight out sale, I'm buying wheat now to take possession at a later time, right? So I will say, so that could work as long as what? The current market price is known. Okay, so that's what we're suggesting, but it could very well be, by the way, that at the end of this start, at the end of this journey, really, I will say, you could do a forward contract as long as you have either of these two. Either Yeshlo or Yotza Shabosi. Let's talk about right now, knowing current market price. Here we go. So he works like this. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Rav Yosef, Tamri Tarvayu, my time, Rabbanan, I'm going to poskin ala shar, shivashok, v'afa b'sheinu. So we'll say, let's play this out. So either way, by the way, right? So let's say I go over to Ruvain, right? I lend Ruvain $1,000. I go back to Ruvain, say, Ruvain gave me my money. I want to go in and buy wheat. Ruvain says, oh, you want wheat? I have wheat. So what do? We commoditize the loan. Or for that matter, again, I go over to Ruvain and I say, Ruvain, I want to buy $1,000 of wheat now, but I'm not taking possession of it for another year, right? A future contract. So I will say, so these cases work as long as what? We know the market price. Why is that? Even though Ruvain does not have the commodity. So why does knowing the market price take away any aspect, potential appearance of ribis? Because also, remember again, let's just repeat it once more. What are we concerned about in this transaction? What am I concerned about in a transaction where I am buying a commodity but not taking possession of it until a later date? What are we concerned about? Appreciation. So that, because now I'm buying $1,000 of wheat, and it's possible that when I actually take possession of it, it's going to be worth $1,200. So the Gemara is suggesting is, as long as the price is known now, what we call Yotza Hashar, there's no problem. Why? It's very simple. It's actually fascinating. Damarle, because we'll say, I could say to Ruvain, right now I am the purchaser. I say to Ruvain, Damarle, Shakila Tivusech V'Shaji Achizri. Literally, again, take your benefit and throw it on the thorn bushes, which I will say sounds so much better in the Aramaic than it does in the translation. What it means is, you're not doing me any favors. You're not doing me favors. Why? The Gemara says, my ahanesli, you're not benefiting me. I havel izuzi biyade, havi mizabninan bihini uvishili bizula. So I will say, now watch this. When the market price is known, I could have just as easily done what? What could I have done? Bought my own wheat and either hold it and sell it at a later date or let the asset appreciate or buy it here. But remember again, there are always places that you could sell stuff at a markup, right? Like, so the example the Gemara gives over here, Hini and Shili. So Hini and Shili, Rashi says, ultimately, again, were towns that were next to Pumbedisa, but Aloch Alamayis, again, didn't have access to commodities in the same way as the big city, which means that you could always sell stuff there at a markup. So we'll say, so essentially, what the Gemara says is like this. When it's Yatsa Ashar and the price is known, that means anyone could have bought this commodity at this price. So I say to Ruvain, you didn't do me any favors, right? See, even though I'm buying it today, I'm going to take possession of it in a year from now. So when I get it in a year from now, it's worth $1,200. Shkoyah. Ruvain, you didn't do anything for me. I could have done this whole thing myself, right? In other words, I could have bought the wheat today also and either held it, let it appreciate, or what? Go take it and go on and sell this somewhere else. So therefore, don't call this ribbis, because in no way are you benefiting me, right? So literally, you haven't done me any favors. Or in other words, There's nothing you did for me that I could have done for myself. I'm going to buy the Rabbi Yosef. El Miato. Mutra the lavo sa'a b'sa'a. Mishum the matzi amr le shakila tuvasech v'shajiach izri. So we'll say, if that's the case, then why can't you learn sa'a b'sa'a? So we'll say, okay, this is another Rabbi's case. We had this in yesterday's daf as well. We'll say, what's sa'a b'sa'a? What you can't do in halacha is, you can't lend a commodity for a commodity. So I can't lend you a bushel of apples and say, give me back a bushel of apples. Since the commodity changes values, we're concerned that it looks like ribis. But why don't I say the same thing over here? Say the same thing over here. Let's say if I lend Reuven a bushel of apples, and he gives me a bushel of apples, why don't we say the same thing? Shakila tivusef v'shajeh chizri damarlei chiti dekatria ba'akal boy. So we'll say at the end of the day, say the same thing, it should be mutter, to lend a sa'a for a sa'a. We'll talk about this more. Because again, most I can say it literally translated, right? My wheat would not have gone bad. Would my wheat have gone bad by sitting out? In other words, you didn't do anything for me. Rashi says over here, chiti da'akat ki ba'akal boy, b'tmiya, v'chi imenachti chitin shali ba'otzarai, klum hayu gisham yardin aleim. Would anything have happened to my produce had I left it alone? Amrale hasam halva hacha zivini. We'll say, here's the difference. The case of Sa'a B'Sa'a, we'll say, is a loan. Remember, we'll say, loans, we're always more sensitive to things that look like ribis by loans than by sales. So we'll say, so ultimately, again, remember, in the case of the forward contract, of the future, right, Psika Laperos, that's a sale. That's a sale. So we're much more comfortable. So as long as the price is known, I'm about to say now I understand it. As long as the price is known, there's not going to be any issue of ribis. In a loan, sa'a b'sa'a, we're much more sensitive to that. So we'll say the Gemara says, "I amar le adabar ava l'rava v'ha bari l'mesa zuzi l'vsaf sira." I will say, but one second, but you are saving some money because otherwise you'd have to give money to a broker to arrange the transaction. You're saving brokerage money. No, okay, fine. So you have to give the brokerage money. That part you have to pay. Ravashi says, no, Zuzi de Inchi Inu Avdile Safsaris is a great line. A person's money, your money is your broker. What does it mean your money is your broker? So we'll say, when I have money to spend, people find me. You don't have to worry about the brokerage tree. Money is the best broker. So we'll say, that's the here for today. So we'll say, this is actually very exciting. Because what we actually ended off with today, we'll say, is we picked up a number of pieces along the way. But for our purposes, what we've established is psika laperos, which is halacha lamaisa, again, a future contract. So I'm giving money now. To get something at a later date. Just to point out, there are two ways that a transaction like that could occur, right? Either a simple sale. There is just a simple sale. I go over to Reuven, here's $1,000. I'm buying $1,000 of wheat. I'll take possession of it in a year from now. Right, so that's one possibility. Possibility two is a converted loan. I lent Reuven $1,000, and now we want to convert the loan into a commodity. Halacha l'maisa, we'll say, why does this have the appearance of ribis? Why? Because halacha l'maisa, or rabbinic ribis, because halacha l'maisa, at a future date, when I take possession of the item, it may be worth more than it's worth now. Two ways to circumvent ribis in a psika ala peros transaction, either Raboshia, yeshlo, you have the commodity, or Rabbi Yanai, yotza hashar, we know the current price. Because again, if Reuven has it, then it's as if I've already taken possession of it. And if the price is known, then halacha l'maisa, I could say, Reuven, not doing me any big tova over here. I could have done this entire transaction myself. Rosai, who said ribis is not great? I want to be clear. Ribis is not great. Right? Ribis is awesome. Ribis is awesome. But fasting nevertheless. Oh, man, we're going to have to get through it. Yeah, we have to get through all of it, Hashem. We're gonna see.